My name is Leah Elsner, and I'm here with Heather McHugh. She's a children's room librarian at Richland Library. As a graduate from the University of South Carolina, we'll be hearing about her journey to get where she is today. How you doing, Heather?
I'm hot and busy, and I'm excited to talk to you.
Awesome. So let's get to know you a little bit first. Where are you from?
So I have a journey. Eventually, I'm going to end up on the coast, but I came from Western North Carolina, and then I made a stop in the upstate, and now I'm in the Midlands. So I think I might end up retiring on the coast. I just feel like that's where I'm destined to be. But so Western North Carolina, a little teeny tiny town called Marion.
So how'd you get from Western North Carolina to the University of South Carolina?
That's a great question. And there's a few stops along the way. So I was just telling someone that I got my undergraduate degree at the university. It used to be the University of South Carolina, Spartanburg, but now it's USC Upstate. And I had a great time there. I was really, really lucky. I got a lot of financial support. I got to do a lot of things. Like I think my junior year, I directed like a full production on a main stage, and it was I felt like I had ridiculous opportunities there. And then my first job out of college was working in a library, and I thought it was going to be like a temporary pit stop, and oh, I don't know, 20 plus years later, here I am. We are librarians have master's degrees. And once I decided that this is where I wanted to be, I wanted to get that degree so I could take advantage of all the opportunities. And so it really made sense. There was a library school here in state, now known as the iSchool. And it really worked out again. And again, I had a lot of great opportunities and a lot of financial support from the University of South Carolina. So I felt like I really lucked out on both ends, both degrees.
One of the kind of iconic buildings for the school is Davis College.
Right.
I actually got to take a little tour through it, and it was really cool. But I was wondering then, could you talk about Davis College, describe it from when you were there, what still sticks in your memory?
I think there's like a number of things. I think there's the physical space, just like you said, there's a lot to remember, but I just remember and feel that way to this day, that if I walk in there and I need some help, some mentoring, some connection, that there's a whole host of people that will help me. And I think that that's what I feel about Davis College, is that it's the feeling of the people, that's what I left with, is that it's still just this place where people want to nurture you and your librarianship, that they want you to do well, that they want you to have opportunities. And I've just seen that grow since my time there. And it's really exciting to see all the opportunities that current students are allowed to have. And, the new faculty, it's exciting. I get to connect with them too. And I'm really thrilled that tradition is carrying on, that it really is a group of super caring people who you can walk into their office, close the door, and kind of go, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. Help me. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And they will, respond.
Did you have a particularly favorite thing about your program, like a class that you just really liked or a professor or something?
I had some really great moments for sure, and professors that I still get to talk to, although I will say a lot of them have retired. But the good news is I get to still hang out with the current faculty, and I do a lot of things with Dr. Copeland, and I kind of try to hang out with Cocky's Reading Express and Dr. Cook. So there's a lot of good, exciting things happening. But yes, I think one of my very first semesters I took, I think it was called Libraries and Literacy with Dr. Feehan. And that was awesome because I think it started to open up the world to me to see like that libraries are about books, but we really do so much more. I mean, it's just, and that the possibilities are truly endless. And so, You know, I've gotten to work on things that I never would expected, like growing savers. And now I'm part of the Let's Talk Race team. So we're doing really important community conversations about race, equity, inclusion. So, I mean, my library career and experience has been really exciting. And I think that was a class that really opened my eyes. And I just feel like I got some really good foundational kinds of skills there that I wouldn't have gotten on the job. And I was in libraries for a while, almost 8 years before I went to, I pursued my MLIS.
So you've pretty much, you always had working in a library in your plan.
No. I was like, I went into my undergraduate degree as like an undecided major, and I decided that that was not a good decision. I ended up with a communications theater degree, which was a great degree for me. And then I think libraries became a natural fit because I am interested in so many things, and libraries do lend themselves for to you kind of pursuing what you're interested in. And you know, also you get to do fun things like puppet shows. Work with really creative people too. So it was sort of like this big mashup of like all of my favorite things.
So you're going to stick with it?
Oh, for sure. You know, every day I get up and I'm still excited to come in to work, and I still think that there's so much to be done, and nothing thrills me more than somebody coming back in and saying, you know, you recommended this book either to me or to my child, and they couldn't put it down, and now they want to read the next one or whatever. And so I still have those great moments like that. And I also, which is unusual often for children's librarians. Like I said, I get to have this adult side too, where I'm working on things like race, equity, and inclusion, and I get to talk to people in our community about that. And it's incredibly satisfying work. Like when I work really hard, and when I lay my head on the pillow, though, I'm very happy that I get to contribute in such, I feel like, meaningful ways.
You have like one story in particular that really showcases like that feeling of doing something meaningful that you're talking about.
This is an older story, but it is one of those things, and there probably are more, but I, you know, this was early on, and I feel like I was finding my way here. But I remember coming here, and this is like, this could have been a conversation that never happened, and it really was not an unusual interaction with a customer and or patron. We used to call them patrons then. But this particular parent came in and was just sort of like, you know, my kid is just, you know, he's got a learning disability. He's just really having trouble reading. Like he hates it. It's really, really hard. And so we were just talking, and she and I just really kind of connected, as you sometimes do with customers. You know, I just was listening. And so I turned him onto the series, and I said, you know, we've got them listen to these books. It was the Rick Riordan series, the Percy Jackson books. Yeah, I know, right? And she's like, and I just remember her coming back, and I hope I don't get like too teary, but like I just remember coming back, and she was looking for more, like he was wanting more to listen to, and she said, he's a reader because of you. And that is way too much credit than I deserve. It really is. Because I was like, no, you came into the light. Like, I just happened to be the person that connected you with that. And, you know, but to hear that from a parent, is really, you know, to have a parent give you that much credit, is really just kind. And again, it just feels like, you know, you're here to help, which is what I feel like I'm here to do.
I love that. That's really sweet.
So yeah, so that human connection and quotient is, I can't understate that enough. That's a lot of what we do, is just helping people. Sometimes it's the best time of their life, and sometimes it's a really hard time. So like knowing that they turned to us and saw that thought that we could be of service to them is really, like I said, it, not to overuse the word meaningful, but it is meaningful work.
I think that's actually kind of a good segue into the Growing Savers, into your Growing Savers program, how people, they come to you for help even when they're in those low times. So do you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about the Growing Savers program?
Sure. I always laugh because not unlike librarianship, the way I kind of like all of a sudden realized that this was for me, it was by accident that I ended up being part of this project and this program.
McHugh was recruited for the program by Quincy Pugh and Teresa Brown. They wanted her help creating skits. She shot down that idea. She hates skits, but joined the team with plenty of other ideas. The Growing Savers program was designed to reach everyone, from babies to seniors, with a particular focus on the African American community. They wanted to make it easy to talk about money as a part of daily life. Over the course of the year-long grant, the program taught financial literacy to 300 adults and 1,500 children.
You know, we talked about there's books and then there's people, and that's an important part. I think when you talk about financial literacy, there is the very, like, there's the nuts and bolts of financial literacy, but there's a real emotional component. And sometimes that emotional component gets in the way for a lot of people. There can be embarrassment and guilt and shame associated with financial literacy, making bad financial decisions. Hello, that's me. Been there, done that. So I was like, that's why I was always like, how am I part of this project? I was like, I am not. But when I told my mother what I was doing, she's like, do they know you? I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, maybe that's why, because I'm not, that's not my forte. So I kind of approached it in a different way. But we had videos that kind of tried to address some of those emotional ideas behind money, what might be stopping people from talking or learning more about money and financial literacy.
It is a difficult topic for a lot of people to talk about, for a lot of people to learn about, but it's definitely important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the thing. It was like, look, you know, you cannot talk to kids, but they're already forming attitudes and thoughts about money. So, you know, starting to have those framing conversations is really, really key. And just simple, because it'll happen. I mean, you know, every time you go to shop for groceries or pay for gas or, go to Target, or, you know, that those provide just built-in conversations about money, like why we're making the choices we're making, why we can't buy that toy this time around, or maybe we can because, you know, we've got a little extra socked away, or maybe we'll go to the dollar, you know. So having those conversations early on really help form those attitudes.
So the main goal of the program is to teach pretty much the whole family how to talk about financial topics.
How to have those conversations, to understand that the library is a resource. So that was the thing, because we knew, you know, just like any big project, you know, there's a time we knew that there would be a big push during the time of the grant that we got. But we also wanted it when that timeline kind of ended, that still things were happening in the library. So we're still reading books about money in story time. We're still putting book displays up regularly. We're still, recommending these resources that we have. We wanted the public, our community, to really see us as a resource to have those conversations. And we wanted to, the big push was sort of like knowing, you know, we wanted to be conversation starters. I remember specifically, I was, and I think I was doing a very young story time, so maybe even like a baby or like a one-year-old story time. And I'm like, and we're going to talk about a little bit about money. And the parent went, what? I was like, I know. It's okay. Everybody take a breath. You know, it's going to be in a totally like developmentally appropriate way, but starting to have these conversations, you know, about money, having kids see like real money, to not just think it's a debit card, to have all that is really important. And I think when you put it in, you know, you make it really accessible for parents, they're like, oh, and then you make it really easy for parents and they're like, okay, you know, we can do this. This is something we can make happen. So, and I think that's one of the things we always try to do. And plus we brought in some good experts too. So we brought in some experts to teach some classes for adults. So we got great feedback. I think it's always one of those things. It doesn't matter when you do financial literacy. It's always a need. We could do it with, you know, school children. We could do it with teenagers. We could do it with, adults and seniors.
So I know that libraries, they've changed a lot over the course of the years. I mean, like you've been saying, you've got these financial literacy programs now. You do videos. They offer a lot more than just the books that they had in the past. So what do you think that libraries will look like in the future?
So I'm gonna get a little political. I think we always want to be, because we are a public service, and especially here in South Carolina, we are funded by tax dollars from our community. So we always want to be good stewards, and we always want to be in tune and in step, and we want to be offering what our community needs.
The unfortunate truth is that lots of community support programs have lost funding. Those programs are either smaller or gone completely now. McHugh has noticed that public libraries are picking up the slack and providing important services to the community.
We are one of the few public places that you can come in and there's not an expectation that you spend money. We don't see anybody as we're not there like, if you don't check out a book, you can still totally be in our library, in our space. You know, we really are this kind of bastion of intellectual freedom. And so those are things that I think we will continue to do. And I have to say, I'm excited to see what challenges we'll take on. But I do hope that we are able to see some of that funding return to our partners in this work. So I think libraries are always going to be surprising, creative. We're always going to be kind of stepping into those community gaps and trying to meet those needs for people. But I will say, at the end of the day, all that being said, we will still be a place where you can find a good book.